Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen.
Good afternoon, radio friends. This is going to be part number two of the message that we began yesterday on the importance of baptism. We're looking at that baptism is not convenient. We've looked at how that baptism is not conversion. And then today we're going to be looking at this third thought, that baptism is not to be done carelessly. At this time, we're going to go to a live recording from the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church, where we're preaching on the importance of baptism.
I see also in 2 Kings chapter number 5, verse number 1, Naaman was a leper, and he was asked to dip 7 times. And once again, I'm talking about baptism is not convenient. It's not convenient because you got to get the water there. You got to have enough water. You have to have all these things and these elements. You can't do it. Did you know that you can't baptize yourself? You have to have the aid of another. Did you know that? Amen. Just go into the water and stay there a while and not get nobody to pull you back up and find out what happens. Bloop. Gone. That's all significance. God set that up, not me. Amen. That's significant. You have to have the aid of and help of another. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And to get through from this world to the next world, amen. For to get from this world, amen, to heaven, you got to have the aid of another, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. If he's not your help, he's not your guide, guess what? Bloop. You go. So Naaman, let me give you this. Naaman was asked to go dip himself 7 times. Now I'm going to put it in my own words, all right? I'm not trying to change the King James Version. We just don't have all day for me to read the whole thing, all right? You go home and read it. 2 Kings, amen. Chapter number 5, verses 1 through 17. So there's a man by the name of Naaman. He's got leprosy. And he's told by the prophet to go down there and dip 7 times in the water. And he argues a little bit. He don't want to go get wet. He's like these ladies. Remember, baptism is not convenient. Well, I'd get baptized, preacher, but I just spent $400 getting my hair done. Hey, what? Look, I understand the $400 part. I don't want to lose it either, amen. But baptism is not convenient. It doesn't happen when we want it to happen. It's a spiritual need, amen. It's something that you need in order to fulfill the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I look across this room this morning and probably say, there's probably some of you guys that's been saved but never been baptized. You sit back and you say, well, I would like to join the church, but you never followed up in water baptism. I don't know why, because the Bible teaches it, right? So Naaman, man, he told him to dip 7 times in the water. He probably didn't want to do that because it involved man getting wet and all those other things. But he finally obeyed the word of the Lord. And he got down there and he dipped 7 times. And the Bible says his face, when he come out, his face was like a child. You say, what are you talking about? He is clean, 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 amen. Why? Because he did it God's way. Look, doing it God's way may not be convenient, but it's what God has asked us to do. Look, can I tell you, baptism is awkward. How many of y'all ever been baptized? Put your hands down. How many thought it was the greatest thing in the world? I mean, you getting in the water and you thought, man, that's what I want to do. I want to stand up there and get wet in front of everybody. I mean, maybe 2 people. I mean, I just don't think it's like the greatest. It's awkward. But it's kind of awkward. Stand up in front of everybody and, you know, come out, and then your hair's all wet. Everybody sees your baldness for what it is. You can't even hide your comb over no more, right? It's awkward. Your toupee comes off and you're trying to catch it, you know? I mean, it's awkward, Grayson, it's awkward. Baptism's a little strange, however. But many times the reason that God does not make it convenient is, and I want you to get me close, listen to me close. We have to kill some pride to do it. It is not convenient. Think about it. I don't want to go up there and get my suit wet. I don't want to do those things. But guess what? It's not convenient. However, it's God's command. Amen. And so for me to step back and say it doesn't matter what it's going to cost me, my pride and all of those things, I'm going to do it because God said to do it. And that's the reason why we baptize. Now let me go on. How much did Christ invest in you? And you think about his pride as he stepped forth on Calvary's hill. I mean, look, he was naked. He was naked. He was bleeding. All of those things, with the crown of thorns on his head. You think about the pride that Christ had. He went to the bottom of the barrel when it comes to humiliation. He's king. He's God. But look at what Christ did for you so that you might have everlasting life. Don't ever forget that. Boy, I love him, don't you? It's a biblical command. Biblical baptism will never be convenient. Baptism is not conversion. I want to make this very clear. If you get up there and you get baptized here, it does not mean that you've had an internal change that you're going to heaven. No, I'm going to tell you, baptism is the first work after you get saved. Think about the Ethiopian eunuch there, what I was talking about there just a minute ago. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That means commitment. There's a commitment that was put on the Lord Jesus Christ before he ever stepped forth in the baptismal water. However, while it's not conversion, can I tell you, it is evidence of conversion. What's the first thing you do after you get saved? What should you do, I guess? What's the first thing you should do after you get saved? Get baptized. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and though the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, the voice of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And while baptism is not a way to heaven, baptism does demonstrate to us that there is a place called heaven. Jesus there, his baptism is evidence enough that there's a glory land, there's a heaven. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Whenever John was there, do you remember what John said? John identified Christ as being who? The Lamb of God, right? Who taketh away the sin of the world. But that ain't all that happened that day. No, Jesus is standing there and he's arguing back and forth with him and John. I would have been too, right? I mean, there comes the Lord Jesus. And I mean, you got John the Baptist standing there. He's baptized many, but then here comes the Lord. I mean, compared to the Lord, who am I, you know? And I know, Brother John, can you imagine the humility? Can you imagine how John must have been feeling that day when the Lord says, I have need to be baptized? And he said, oh, no, I have need to be baptized. So you, and they're back and forth. But can you imagine as John takes the Lamb of God and gets the opportunity? He was John the Baptist, amen. He had a mission, praise God. And while John takes the Lord and as he lays the Lamb of God down in the baptismal waters over in the River Jordan, he's covered him up now. And as he brings him back up, boy, all of a sudden God speaks from heaven. He says, hey, listen, there's a heaven out there, friend. God says, hey, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then all of a sudden the Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended as a dove flapping on the Lord. And it said, hey, this is him. This is him. This is him. It's who you've been looking for. At his baptism, John introduced him as who he is, the Son of God. Amen. He appointed to those facts. Now, baptism is not convenient and it's not conversion. It does demonstrate to us who that there's a heaven. But third, let me give you this thought. Baptism is not to be done carelessly. It's not to be done carelessly. Listen to me. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, candidates for baptism, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't stand up there. Please don't stand up there and with a false profession telling the world that Jesus is the Son of God and he's your personal Savior if you don't know 100% that Christ is your Lord. Don't do it. I heard of churches using baptisms as a means of games and things that attract people to come to church, but it should never be done like that. While baptism is a glorious event, while baptism is a sacred event, while baptism is needful, can I tell you, it should never be done out of its context. It should never be done carelessly. It always ought to be done in the light of biblical representation. Can I tell you this morning, I want you to look at Romans chapter number 6. You look down there, verse number 3. Baptism this morning is a representation of three things. It represents your past, your present, but it also represents your future. And I want you to see those three things in this text. Romans chapter 3, chapter 6. Verse number 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized, underline this word, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Did you know that baptism is a watery tomb? In other words, that baptistry right there is a watery grave. It's a watery tomb. This week, we planted Brother Gene in the ground, and we placed his body in the ground. It was covered with dirt, right? We go over there to Fairview, North Carolina. We can no longer see his body, but his body's there. This is a watery tomb this morning. It's symbolic of being buried under the water. So tonight, we're going to have a funeral before we have celebration. It's about maybe 9, 10, I don't know, that we're going to have a funeral for tonight. We're about to pronounce them dead. I mean, literally, they're going to step down into the waters of death, and we're going to lay their body down into a watery grave. Buried, Brother Kevin. This right here is where the devil gets mad. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about, look, I mean, as soon as that person begins to step, the past, the present, the future, all comes alive, that person begins to step down into the waters of death. And what are you saying? They're proclaiming, I'm no longer the man that I used to be. I'm a dead man. I have died in Christ. And the devil's sitting back on the bank. He's going, oh, I don't like it. I don't want it. You know why? Because it's the evidence of new life. The devil's going, oh, look at that young person that I could have destroyed. Look at that mama who was dying in despair and anxiety. Look at that daddy that we could have ruined and thrown his life away. Hey, look at that future we could have absolutely ruined and messed up. But oh, now they're going down to identify.
That's right.
And to die to that old man. Tonight, we get the opportunity to preach the funeral and to witness the funeral of about 9 or 10 souls tonight who stepped out and said, I'm no longer who I said I was. I'm no longer just a man. I'm a child of the King. And so that person's going to represent tonight. We're going to lay that body down in the waters of death. And that water's going to totally cover them. But thank God that's not the end. While that present, look here, while the present walks down into the past, can I tell you, that past gets waved to victory. Amen. And then all of a sudden they're raised in newness of life. But notice what verse 4 says. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Can I tell you, friend, that while that present and while that past life is seems to be done away with, can I tell you there's a bright future for that one that'll say no to the devil and step forward and say, hey, I love Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. There's a difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. He is a new creature. In other words, he died. He's gone. I like what old Reggie Sadler says right here. He says, what sins are you talking about? God don't remember them anymore. Thank God they're gone. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com. Download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.